According to Bruce Fain, Deputy Attorney General under President Reagan, that interpretation of AUMF would mean that it was also intended to authorize the president to break and enter homes, open mail, torture detainees, or even open internment camps for American citizens in violation of federal statutes in order to gather foreign intelligence. It is not plausible to suggest that Congress would have intended to authorize such extreme measures by silence or remote implication. If this interpretation of AUMF were correct, moreover, parts of the Patriot Act would have been unnecessary. Finally, given that FISA, the existing law, deals explicitly and specifically with intelligence gathering, while AUMF says nothing at all about foreign intelligence, FISA would automatically trump AUMP as a matter of legal principle, even if the administration's interpretation were correct. The administration itself didn't seem to take this argument seriously. When asked why, if the administration considered FISA inadequate to its purposes, it had not sought to amend it. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez frankly testified that they didn't think they would be able to win congressional approval for amendments to FISA. So they proceeded with the program anyway. That's problematic enough, but it also contradicts administration claims that AUMF gave them all the authority they needed. Why did they consider amending FISA in order to give themselves a power they supposedly already had? Then, in yet another twist, we were told that NSA was carrying out what is known as data mining, which amounts to combing through the communications of all Americans, and FISA could not accommodate this. Well, no, I should think not. Finally, there is the argument that the president needs to be able to act with dispatch in order to pursue the targets he seeks. This argument also fails to persuade. Existing law was extremely accommodating on the score, allowing for warrantless surveillance for days at a time in emergency situations. What was the real reason for the program then? Who was targeted and why? No answers to these questions have been forthcoming. Bland assurances that our leaders are trustworthy and good and would never abuse powers they have secretly exercised in defiance of the law can hardly be taken seriously by those who believe in a free society. Remember Jefferson's cautionary words about confidence in men. We should be on our guard against our government officials, binding them down for mischief by the chains of the Constitution. Government surveillance of individuals has been abused in the past, and it has targeted political opponents and the politically unpopular. That's why the safeguards that were flaunted here were established in the first place. Frank Church, who served as a U.S. Senator from Idaho for a quarter of a century, and who investigated and led the charge for reform of the surveillance powers of American intelligence agency, was observing as early as 1975 that the NSA, if it fell into the wrong hands, could enable the government to impose a total tyranny, and there would be no way to fight back. This particular program was known as the Terrorist Surveillance Program, and it received a great deal of attention after its existence became public. What was frequently overlooked amid the ensuing controversy was that the executive branch apparently carried out even more invasive activities, but we never got any answers about those. When asked whether they had engaged in domestic wiretapping or carried out warrantless searches of people's homes or correspondence, officials have responded with carefully worded assurances that these things were not done under the program then under discussion, i.e., the Terrorist Surveillance Program. But were these things being done pursuant to some other program? No answer. When then-Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee in February 2006, for example, he dealt with questions about whether the administration had engaged in warrantless wiretapping of purely domestic calls. "Not under the program in which I'm testifying," came the reply. Such activity, the Attorney General said, was beyond the bound of the program which I'm testifying about today. We do know that for some period of time between September 11, 2001 and March 2004, The executive branch was engaged in a kind of surveillance that was so at odds with American law that then Attorney General John Ashcroft, FBI Director Robert Mueller, and Deputy Attorney General James Comey threatened to resign if it continued. What exactly was the executive branch up to that caused so much dissent, even among its own loyalists? Who was victimized during this time? Why are we not hearing the answers, or even the questions? The misnamed Patriot Act, presented to the public as an anti-terrorism measure, actually focuses on American citizens rather than foreign terrorists. The definition of terrorism for federal criminal purposes is greatly expanded, such that legitimate protest against the government could someday place an American under federal surveillance. Similarly, your internet use can be monitored without your knowledge, and your internet provider can be forced to hand over user information to law enforcement without a warrant or subpoena. The biggest problem with these new law enforcement powers is that they bear little relationship to fighting terrorism. Surveillance powers are greatly expanded, and the checks and balances on government are greatly reduced. Sneak and peek and blanket searches are becoming more frequent every day.